Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. And this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. Thank you so much for listening today. Obviously, I'm so aware of what an anxious time this is for so many of you. I've been having tons of messages and questions coming through about how to deal with the uncertainty about coronavirus and all the things that we have to deal with, from redundancies to not being able to leave the house, to lack of social interaction, to fear about our health and the health of our loved ones. There are so many things to consider right now. And so what I normally do is record podcasts quite a few weeks in advance, and I've decided to push back the ones that I had scheduled and actually have in place some podcasts that are dealing with the issues that we're struggling with today. So obviously I know what an anxious time this is, and I'm going to be planning some online workshops to help you to feel more resilient and feel more positive in what is, for many people, a really challenging time. If you want to hear about that and also download some of the freebies that I have on my website, you can go to karmayou.com/free. I've got a hypnotherapy MP3 on there, affirmations, worksheets, all designed to help you to be a calmer you. And I'll also let you know about any events or live workshops that I'm doing online. So I am chatting on the podcast today to my friend, Toni Jones. She was a guest maybe a year ago now on the podcast. She's the founder of the self-help book club, Shelf Help. And I definitely recommend you check them out. There's tons for you to get involved in, even though the in-person meetups aren't happening for now. She's doing loads of stuff online, so definitely check out Shelf Help Club on Facebook and on her website and on Instagram. I got in touch with Toni because she'd written a fascinating blog post all about working from home and the challenges that can come up for us when it comes to working from home, from being productive to spending more time with our partners, which can sometimes be quite a challenging thing, I'll tell you from my own experience, to handling the uncertainties and sticking with the routine. So we talk about all these different factors, how to stay calm, how to handle working from home, being at home a lot, and making the best of this challenging situation. So let's get into the interview with Toni Jones from Shelf Help Club. This episode is sponsored by my favourite activewear brand, Sweaty Betty. Their all-female design team source the best technical fabrics, which means their products perform under the toughest conditions and feel amazing on your skin. All products are also wear-a-trialed by female staff to ensure they perform and flatter and fit the female body. If the staff don't love it, it doesn't get made. There are so many activewear brands to shop from, but Sweaty Betty is special because all their products, from run and yoga to swim and ski, are engineered to last. This is not fast fashion, it's high quality. And I have several pieces from Sweaty Betty that I've had for years and I continue to wear and love. Sweaty Betty now has a host of sustainable products, including their Super Sculpt leggings made from post-consumer plastic bottles. Their Italian fleece has been replaced with a recycled cotton blend alternative, and they are reducing the amount of consumer packaging sent to customers. Sweaty Betty are offering listeners 20% off when you enter the promo code KARMAYOU on their website. You'll also find the link in the show notes. So 20% off at Sweaty Betty when you enter the code KARMAYOU. That's C-A-L-M-E-R-Y-O-U. Check out their stuff. I think you're going to love it. Welcome, Toni. Thanks so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm actually really good. I'm very busy, believe it or not. I should be slowing down maybe. As I might have mentioned on Instagram a few times, I seem to have lost most of my normal work, but it's okay because I'm kind of being super productive and actually just getting busy creating content and just doing stuff I actually love, which is really interesting. So I'm enjoying today. I'm busy. Yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm really curious to know, as someone that I consider quite a sociable person, you know, we obviously know each other outside of work and hang out, and I know you to be someone that is often out and about doing things, meeting people. How's it been for you as such a social person to sort of handle things at the moment?
Well, I'm still being super sociable, actually, just in new ways. So I've been road testing things, something I'm calling huddles for my Shelf Help community, which is bringing different people together. So a lot of my hosts and community members have been helping me test that. So every day I've had at least two meetings with eight other people, smiley faces, most of whom also don't really know about how the technology works. So it's actually been really funny and brilliant. And that's been a really nice kind of way to check in with people. I've also been doing the same with my family, which has been like chaotic, which is basically like the same kind of chaos as a normal family party at mine. So I think at the moment it's all quite novelty, right? So I feel very in touch with everyone. I've got too many WhatsApp groups going on, so I've muted a few of those, which we might talk about later, just because there's so many different inputs. So I actually feel very connected to lots of people. I'm making a real effort to do that. So I'm not feeling the bite of the kind of social distancing just yet. I feel physically distant, obviously, but socially distant, no.
Okay, it's so interesting to hear different people's experiences and how people are coping with the challenges that are taking place at the moment. Mm. And one of the reasons that I wanted to speak to you was because I read a blog post that you'd written that seemed to get shared a lot and have a massive response, all about working from home. And can you share a little bit about that post and why you decided to write it? And
yeah, well, originally I decided to write it because I, like you said, I work from home already. I think you said that, sorry. I work from home already for myself, but it's taken me a while to kind of get used to it, probably about 5 years, because I used to work as a journalist for 15 years on news floors, which is completely the opposite. It's kind of like super hectic, filled with people, pressure all day, every day, people shouting at you, which I think I kind of liked. So working from home for me was a real learning curve, learning about myself, learning about how to plan your day, your time, how to prioritize, how to be responsible for yourself and motivate yourself. And I just, as soon as people were starting to get sent home by their companies, I was getting lots of messages from friends saying, how do you do this? It was like 2 or 3 days in, and they were just like, they were not enjoying it. And I think, so I just thought, what I might do is just do a piece on how I do it. And I did a shout out, and I got so many responses back from my community and also friends and colleagues, that everyone has got a different method and different things work for different people. But we're all kind of, now we're all in this together. I just thought it'd be interesting to write a piece. But I feel like the piece is actually kind of, the piece needs to be updated already, and it's only a few days old, because I wrote it how to work from home from a position of someone that is choosing to work from home and is able to change my environment when and if I want, and also working from home by myself. And now, obviously, as things are evolving and moving so quickly, a lot of people are working from home with families or with partners, and they're not able at the end of the day to just shake it off and go out for go to the gym class or go meet their friends at a restaurant. So I think a lot of the strategies that I use, and maybe you and your listeners, for working from home now are going to have to be adapted a little bit. So I think the response I'm getting now is, yeah, great, we love the piece, but how do I do that with the husband and kids? So I found loads of good resources, actually, which I'll share as we go through. But it was a really interesting, I enjoyed writing the piece, and I learned so much from people. And I also realized I don't always take my own advice. So I think I said to you earlier, I didn't even realize it was Friday at the moment, because I am sticking to my routine, as in getting up at the right time and doing my workout and stuff like that. But not watching the news so much and kind of just keeping myself out of that. So maybe I need to follow my own advice a bit more.
I think we're all like that. We're all good at giving advice, and then we don't always take it all ourselves. I think that's totally normal. One thing I was really curious to discuss with you was how being at home a lot is going to affect introverts and also extroverts. Because when I think about it, I can think there could be benefits and drawbacks to both of these types of people. And I know that probably a lot of people listening are probably, well, on unofficial polls that I've done on my Instagram of my followers, the majority of people seem to be introverts, and that seems to be associated with anxiety. Do you have any theories on how this will affect, you know, these two types of people in terms of being at home a lot and working from home?
Yeah, sure. It's the same, actually, with the Shelf Help community. I would say not all of, but a lot of introverts. So having time to kind of meet people, connect online and ask them how they felt about meeting digitally and all that kind of stuff has been really interesting. I think some things that have come up for introverts is you can have too much me time. Like, this is like, it's kind of enforced me time, right? Enforced mindfulness, which is, we can see it as a positive, but unless, I think if you're an introvert, you still have to go to work most of the time, or you'll still see your friends in some capacity. But now you're going to really have to make an effort to consciously do that. So I would say, don't go for too much me time. Enjoy it, but don't have too much. And equally, don't say yes to too much. And this is just a kind of like practicing getting used to being online. Some people I've spoken to who work online all day are now on kind of on video calls all day. And then they say yes to all their kind of social things that their friends are planning, and they feel just totally wiped out by the end of it, because it's just so much input and output, because you're video conferencing all day in meetings, but then also you're on the WhatsApp and you're kind of then agreeing to social hangout and all that kind of stuff. So be aware that that is still energy giving out. So, and for some of us, it's more energy because we're not used to the technology. We don't really know necessarily how it's going to go. So I think like you would be in kind of regular life, kind of be careful about where your energy goes and plan that. With regards to the extroverts, then I would just say social media, that's what it, like, use social media in a good way, because that's what it's for, right? So social media was designed to connect us when we can't be physically connected. So there's so many great things happening now, lots of live stuff on Instagram, loads of courses people are joining, lots of friends. I've got a friend who works in events, and they've created a VR pub that they're all going to go to tonight. So there are ways to kind of stay social and not be physically connected. The classes I'm kind of loving. And also, but I would remember that not everyone's feeling the same as you. So I know as an extrovert, when I'm really excited about something, I want everyone to be excited about it. And when you're in the same room as people, you can see body language and you can read cues more. But sometimes I think virtually we don't have that. I also interviewed somebody called Dr. Tara Swart recently, and she's a neuroscientist. And she was talking to me about being very aware that we're going to go through a curve. It's almost like a grief curve. When you lose something, or when something massive changes in your life, we all go through this curve, and we go through it at different stages. So over the next few weeks, we're all going to be feeling like we need some quiet, or we'll be feeling sad, or we'll be feeling scared or nervous at different times. And so for extroverts, and I include myself in that, to remember that the people around us might be going through different things at different times. And so to be aware of that.
That's so interesting. And yeah, I'm thinking a lot about that, how I know that with my friends and with, you know, yourself, we've been co-working on Zoom, and everyone's been connecting on WhatsApp and checking on each other. And I just wonder if that will start to wane in the coming weeks, and whether people will, particularly introverts, feel themselves starting to retreat more, or that the isolation will start to really kick in. So I think it's good to be aware that those things can change, and to maybe, if you know yourself to be someone who can withdraw, to try to make plans, or try to, I don't know, maybe it's even about letting other people know, like your friends know, I have this tendency to withdraw and go inside myself. Can you just check on me, or can we keep this going, this regular contact going? I think it's good to have those sorts of conversations.
Yeah. And I think regular is a really good word here, because we can talk about routine and our daily routines, and we will, I'm sure. But if you just the knowledge that you've got a regular Friday lunchtime check-in, for instance, or Friday night, like, I don't know if you've heard the term quarantini is being kind of bandied around, and it's just friends all meeting at the same time, like, bring your own, right? It doesn't need to be booze related, but it's just like, it's that kind of social. So every Friday night, if this is kind of, we're going to be in this situation for this foreseeable, then then you check in with your friends. And the whole point of the beauty of the virtual check-in is that you don't need to be there for hours and hours. It's just a check-in. And sometimes it's like a virtual hug, right? You just need to know that there are people out there that are interested in you and care about you. And you don't necessarily need to kind of go deep dive into your problems or challenges. But I think sometimes, yeah, just having that regular plan in the diary is enough to keep most of us kind of going even before the events happened, right? Just knowing it's there is quite motivating and quite uplifting. So for for introverts especially, I would book that in and ask your friends to book that in.
Definitely. I just remembered that I found out the other day that there's a Netflix setting, I can't remember what it's called, that allows you to connect with your friends on Netflix and watch a program together and chat about it in a chat box. And I'm just gutted we didn't have this when we were watching Love is Blind, because that would have been brilliant. That's, yeah, just my top
tip. That would have been our life over. Anyone.
Yeah. We touched on the topic of routine. Now, mm-hmm. when I obviously speak to people with anxiety all day, every day, the topic of routine comes up a lot as being so important for helping us to be balanced in our mental health. And of course, now things have gotten changed and shaken up, mm-hmm. and we're maybe going to be outside of our normal routines. What sort of advice or insights do you have about being at home and sticking to a routine? And what have you learned about that over the last couple of weeks?
So I would say routine is now more important than ever, because there's so much we can't control at the moment. And this feels a lot of chaos and kind of things are changing all the time. So what we can control is our days, our mornings, kind of how we, how we choose to spend our time and our energy. So I think routine now more important than ever. I've been recommending a book called Make Your Bed, and it's by an admiral from the Navy SEALs. He was in the SEALs for, I think, 37 years, and he's written a book, and it's 10 rules for life. And the first one is make your bed. And it sounds super simple, but the idea is that by doing that, you've achieved something in the day. You set yourself a task and you've done it. So moving forward, you feel a little bit accomplished and a little bit of pride. Also, it's a reminder that the small things matter. And now more than ever, the small things do matter. And if we are going to be housebound, some people might already be if they're listening in different countries. If you're housebound, it's really important to make that bed, because your environment, it really dictates your, for me and for loads of people, I know this, your environment will really dictate your mental well-being. So having a tidy, smart environment is really important. More important than ever, I think. I mean, the morning routine has always been important to me, and since I started working from home. So now I'm just treating myself to an extended morning routine. I used to dream about imagine having a whole hour and a half to do whatever I wanted in the morning. Now I kind of can, because it's the time that I used to spend going to meetings maybe, or prepping for different things that aren't happening now. So I'm kind of enjoying that. But I think my advice here is to zone things. So we can just zone our days and our evenings and our weekends, which we'll talk about in a minute, to zone the house. So to physically zone different spaces for different things, and also to zone duties. And this is especially important for people trying to work from home with kids, husband, flatmates, other people basically. Because like I said, the original piece I wrote was about me working from home, just considering myself, but actually it's turned into a doing everything from home, right? So I think the zones are really important. And I feel like the routines, it's great to have kind of treat it like a school day almost. But for me, what's going to be really important, as you said, as quite a sociable person, and as someone who really looks forward to Fridays and the weekends, it's like, how are we going to make these blocks of the day different? So that, because we're all now talking on Zoom, on video conferencing, we're doing it all day for work. So if we're doing that for our social life as well, how are we going to make little changes to make that a bit more, turn it into fun or turn it into the evening? What's going to be your end of day? You've got the morning routine. What's your end of day routine to say work is now over and I'm going to kind of move into the evening? For some people, it's kind of putting your laptop away and hiding it and doing a kind of today is now finished and kind of saying it out loud. For some people, it's washing their face, changing their clothes, having a shower, doing a workout, going for a walk while you still can. Maybe that's when you check in with your friends. So I think, zoning the day and the week and the weekend like that is really important. And that obviously goes back to routine, right?
This podcast episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Therapy has massively helped me in the past to make sense of my thoughts and process my emotions. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating with them in under 24 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling that's done securely online. This service is available for clients worldwide, and BetterHelp matches you with a counsellor based on what it is that you want to work on and their expertise. It's more affordable than traditional offline counselling, and financial aid is also available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And BetterHelp are doing a special offer for Karma U listeners. You get 10% off your first month when you visit trybetterhelp. That's better, HELP.com/KarmaU. That URL again, trybetterhelp.com/KarmaU to get 10% off your first month's online counselling.
I think that's such an important one about having an end to the working day, because I know, you know, myself that it can just be constant. Unless I have boundaries in place or some kind of plan or routine, I'll just be answering emails at, you know, 9 p.m. sat on the sofa, or, you know,
yeah,
work encroaching onto the weekend. And I think especially at this time in the world when we need to look after our mental health more than ever, having a process of switching off and bookending the day with something to help you to calm down or relax. Or I love the idea of taking your makeup off or getting changed, having a shower, just to be able to get into that relaxation mode and switch off from the day. I think it's so, so important.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think FOMO is the only thing that stopped me working sometimes, because there was something happening and I was like, I can't miss that, so I'm going to get off the laptop. Or I had planned, like I always used to plan a class. I go to Frame Studios and I'd be like, I plan the class every lunchtime, because otherwise I just work through lunch. It's what I did when I worked at a company, because we were churning out content the whole time. So I got quite used to just head down and get on with it and not having lunch breaks and things. So it's bad training from that, but it's also, if we're going to be at home a lot, we need to be really extra strict with ourselves on those boundaries. I mentioned like zoning the house. I've seen some funny memes going around about like getting ready to go to the living room tonight, because it's like the living room, is that going to be the place that we kind of like have dinner and drinks and like that's our social place? But it's like, I think it's quite important, especially if you're working from home with somebody, like, where's your office space? Where's your desk space? Where's the other person's space? I have a bad habit, you know, probably this about co-working, but my husband has now realized that I do this a lot. When someone's sitting next to me, I just ask them questions all the time or want to talk to them. And it can be about work, but it's just anything that comes up, I will just ask. So Dan now puts his headphones in, and that's a signal for me that he doesn't want to talk or that he's trying to work, or he'll literally go in the other room. So it's kind of looking at the space you've got and working out how is that best going to work for you and the people in the home. Maybe we'll talk about families in a minute, but if you are trying to work from home with kids, it's really important for you to almost be out of sight when you're not on kind of daddy or mummy daycare, because that is your work zone and then this is kid zone, and it kind of, that I think that needs to be figured out. So just kind of some planning around that is probably really useful for people.
I think it'd be good to talk about that a bit more. I heard that in China, following all the coronavirus outbreaks and people being confined to their homes, the rates of divorce went up quite significantly, right? Because, you know, most of us are used to, I mean, even though I work at home, my partner, you know, 3 days a week was going into an office, and he worked from home a couple of days a week, and we got used to that rhythm. But now we're together 24/7, literally 24/7. And I'm sure everyone, you know, who has a partner is probably in a similar position. Mm-hmm. And if that's a completely new experience, if you're used to having your own time, your own space, or obviously the kids going to school or nursery, then that's a massive change, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. So it's the C word, it's compromise, which mostly we're not generally so good at, all of us. So it's basically working out everyone's needs in the situation, because we're all going to be at home working from home, whether that's doing your schoolwork or, you know, as an adult or whatever. But I asked, I've got lots of different, I'm not a parent, but I've got lots of nieces and nephews, and I'm Auntie Tony to lots of people. So I asked a really broad mix, and I got two really funny responses to this about how you work from home with kids and a family. And the people who have never done it before said earplugs, wine, and a knife for the husband. And the people who've been doing it for a while were like, routine, shifts is the most important. Again, so it's like zoning the time. It's like you have to decide at the beginning of the day who's going to be in charge when, who's going to be working, looking after the kids, and who's going to be able to do some work, because then when there's a kid meltdown, it has to be the person who's designated in charge, because otherwise it usually reverts back to the main caregiver, or the person that spends most of the time with the kids. But now it's all changing, so boundaries are kind of shifting a lot, so it's important to kind of get them in place at the beginning, I think. The people who do it well as well, working from home with children, say do something at the beginning of the day that it involves a lot of energy. So I think Joe Wicks is doing a PE class at 9 o'clock every day from next Monday. So Barry's boot camp, some people have been doing with their babies, which is, I think, is brilliant online. So it's just anything that kind of, it's good for us because it's like grown ups, because it gets your energy going, but it kind of starts, the kids kind of like are not then just fizzing all day and wanting your attention. So it's, yeah, kind of. See, looking at that, they have needs too, right? We all do. So it's compromising, and it's working out what's the best way we can all do it and the most fair way. So I think the way to do that is, sounds a bit boring, but doing a bit of planning, working out some days I now need to be recording content at home all day. So my husband's going to have to find something else to do, and vice versa. So it's kind of working out the diary in advance. And then, yeah, blocking out those times. And also, I asked my husband about his feedback on this, and he said we should need to finish the day at the same time. So otherwise it's silly, because it's like, even if someone's making dinner while someone's working, if at all possible, if you can both say at 6 o'clock our work day's done, and then whatever you do, like we decided we're going to start looking at recipe books and start cooking properly tonight, because it's Friday, it's date night, so I'm actually going to shave my legs and get ready for dinner. Then we're gonna have a drink and have dinner, and then go clubbing in the lounge. So we're kind of like, it's like, it's still novelty, right? So ask me next Friday and it might be a bit different. But I think, yeah, so it's like the zoning of the days, the zoning of the duties, zoning of your kind of space, all important.
That's so, so helpful. And I know just from my own experience with Aidan, our number one argument is when one of us is working, the other one is wanting to chat and connect maybe at the end of the day, or cooking dinner and want someone to chat to. And we'll get into stupid arguments about the one person not being present because they're working, because I literally work on the kitchen table, and obviously he's there the whole time, then there's just that scope. And I think that's such a good point about having that time to switch off. Or maybe, you know, if I'm really focusing, or he is, to have headphones in, or we've been saying to each other, you know, right, I'm having an hour of power now, please don't interrupt me for the next hour because I'm really focusing on this. Or, you know, if you've got different rooms in the house, maybe going and sitting in different rooms. I think that's something we all need to be mindful of, that we don't, that divorce rates don't go up in the next few weeks because we can't get on at home. But
no, I was going to say, I love the power hour, and I love the kind of, I'm going to be doing this now. Brené Brown, and she did a podcast with Tim Ferriss, and they were talking about parenting, and she's quite a mindful parent. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I just love listening to how she brings up her kids. And she talks about, people say marriages are 50-50, and she said, or partnerships, and she said, they're not at all, hardly ever 50-50. It's usually 80-20, 70-30, 60-40. And her and her husband have a conversation where they'll say, how are you doing today? And one of them will say, I'm at a 20. So the other person needs to bring it up to 80. And they have that conversation, and then that understanding that, okay, fine. So as like maybe with our busyness levels, or maybe with our work levels, if you're kind of saying to Aidan, if you're saying to even to your flatmates or whatever, it's kind of, this is what's going on for me right now. I need this kind of level of space. And so they need to tone it down a bit. So I quite liked that. It's kind of like, again, the compromising, but it's having that chat at the beginning rather than just passively aggressively typing really loud, like I like to do, or Dan putting his headphones in with a dramatic flourish. So it's kind of like, yeah, you know that I need to work for a few hours now, and then I will give you time. And like you said, be present, because we do want that. But now it's going to be very important that we don't let everything just bleed into everything, right?
Yeah, totally.
And I love that idea of, it sounds like to me, almost asking what you need, asking for support, letting your partner know if you're having a difficult time, if things you need them to pick up some of the slack, or, you know, noticing if they're struggling and you need to be the one that's going to be taking over for a little bit, and having those conversations about that sounds really important. I would really love to know, we're going to need to wrap this conversation up in a minute, but I'd love to know from you, were there any other, because I know you spoke to your community, the shelf helpers, about their tips and advice. Was there anything else that they mentioned or that came out of that that you found interesting?
Yeah, it was just take advantage of all the resources that are out there, really, because whether you're introvert or extrovert or whatever you, however you normally run your days, suddenly there's this whole, people are just sharing so much online. So the everyone I speak to, it really seems they're kind of like recommending. So it's like a resource for, it's almost like a directory of live events, because everything I do with Shelf Help is about bringing people together. So the challenge for me is, how do I do that online? But suddenly, like I said, Joe Wick's doing his PE class. All the studios in London are kind of opening, doing online classes. And I think the community really are enjoying trying all different things as well, because you're kind of anonymous in these classes. So it's a good time to try things that you might never have tried, and then not worry if you don't get it quite right. So I'm loving live classes, because it also makes me actually go to them. Because I've always had like online yoga, but it's like on demand, right? Whereas now I've got a favorite yoga teacher, Josephine McGrail, and she's doing a 7:30 class every day. So every morning I do a bit of my morning routine, but at 7:30 I'm on the mat. And it's so nice to see some of my other friends' names kind of pop into the chat box. So what's happening with my community is that people are sharing a lot of resources like that, so that we feel like we're kind of socializing together, but not necessarily just in a hangout when we've been online all day already, but we're socializing as in we're enjoying the same experience, and then we're able to share about it.
That's such a good thing to access. And I'm thinking about how, you know, it makes it more accessible, so people that aren't in London could access a yoga class that maybe they couldn't in their local area, or it's a bit more affordable, I think, quite often the yoga classes or the fitness classes or workshops than actually going somewhere, and you don't have to pay for travel, so it makes it more accessible. So there are definitely some interesting and kind of beneficial things to do with the crisis that we're experiencing right now, and I'm just trying to focus on the positive things that we can get out of it and how to make the best of what is a bad situation. So I love that.
Yeah, there are those aspects of it. People are really coming together in different ways. Like on our huddles, I've been talking to people in LA, in Scotland, in Paris, and we're all on the same call. And it's like, how amazing is that? We're all hanging out talking about the same stuff, which we probably could have done anyway, but we hadn't yet. So it's kind of, it's forcing us to embrace this way of connecting.
Amazing. Thank you so much for talking to me. This has been really, really helpful. Where can people find out more about you and the things that you offer and what you're up to?
Well, I would love you to come and see us at shelfhelp.club, which is the website. But at the moment, I'm doing lots of online content through Instagram, and also sharing it on Facebook, but mostly Instagram, which is shelfhelp.club. So I'm doing a live reading every morning of a book that I think is good to help keep us kind of grounded and present and positive. And then I'm also doing a kind of, I'm calling it the Keep Well, Keep Calm and Stay Well series, where I'm interviewing lovely experts like yourself, Chloe, clever experts, and about kind of how we can best manage these times coming up. So that's in the evening. So yeah, loads of online content there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this. It's been so good.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
See you too. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you gained a lot from this episode. Come on over to Instagram and let me know, what are you taking from this episode? Find me at Chloe Brotheridge. And I would love it if you would leave me a review in the podcast app or in iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a rating. And is there someone in your life that would really benefit from this podcast? You can let them know by sharing this podcast. I'd be so, so grateful. So I'm just wishing you a wonderful week ahead, sending you loads of love. Hopefully you'll tune in again, and I'll see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.